Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Good, Jim. I'm doing really good. How are you? Hey, you know, a friend of mine said Penn State didn't lose last week. And that made his weekend better. I was like,
undefeated for the week.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I joked. I think I told you this. My nephew got married last weekend. So I was up in Rochester for that. And I joked with him. He's a big sports guy. And I gave him heck ahead of the season. How could you schedule your wedding on a fall Saturday? Well, this was before the schedule came out. And then when it came out and showed this was a bye week for Penn State, he bragged about it like, oh, yeah, that's the way I planned it out. Candidly, the way this team is playing, it might have been better if he scheduled it on a game week, perhaps even this upcoming weekend.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all, Jimmy. Not one little bit. But what are you going to do? It's just a mess, and it's on a lot of fronts. So let's talk about it. We got a lot to talk about. It was a bye week, but the noise does not quiet down.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that mess. But first, you know what, Andy? Let's talk about why you had such a good week. You had a tremendous round of golf this week, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I played golf on Monday. I shot 79. So it's at a course. It's at the course where my son's a head pro. It's a private club. I do a little help him every now and then. So you can play on Monday privilege. Great freaking golf course. And it's hard, and I've never broken 80
there. Well, but explain how you did it on, you had to come up big on the 18th.
Well, I was in position. Yes, I did. Then I double bogeyed 16 and bogeyed 17, and I was like, here I stand again, needing a par on a hard par three. And I'd been there three times before. I had needed a par on 18 to break 80 and didn't do it. And I made a 15-foot uphill putt. It was shocking that it went in. I was like, it went in! I made a three!
Congratulations on that. You made a lot of our listeners who are golfers jealous when you talk in terms of breaking 80. All right, Andy, let's get to it. As you mentioned, there's just not just at Penn State, but nationwide. Have we ever seen a season with this many major job openings? And we're about halfway through the season. And you got openings at LSU, Penn State, Florida, Arkansas, Virginia Tech, UCLA. And my goodness, there's more to come, you know, whether it's Wisconsin, Florida State, Auburn. My first question to you is why? Why are we having all these job openings, big job openings this year?
Yeah, you have to start with one word, and that's the money. The money has upped the stakes. That's, you can't talk about the, it's not the reason, I don't think, but it's an influencer. Let's call it that. Hey, look at that. Using the modern Gen Z term, influencer. The money is a tremendous influencer. It's kind of always been, but this is next level money we're talking. So the amount of money makes patience thin. Patience has always been thin with bad football coaches, but I think this is the year where the wash in the washing machine is sort of settling before it spins. In other words, I've been under the impression, and we have talked about this, and I think Brian Kelly was the first one at UCLA, or Chip Kelly, excuse me, was the first one at UCLA where I was like, Chip just quit. And so I started diving into like the modern, like as NIL and the transfer portal and the conference realignment, all of that happening so fast, what was the fallout going to be or where was it going to land? And I think in the power shift, it's landed at the feet of coaches. The head coaching job at a college football program has changed drastically in the last 3 to 5 years. And I think this is the wash settling and starting to spin. In other words, Nick Saban got it. The game didn't pass Nick Saban by. That is not the case, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just make that clear. Nick Saban knew the job had changed before most and realized it wasn't a strength. He didn't have the tools for it to be an absolute strength anymore. So he walked away because he knew the job had changed that much. And he said as much. Chip Kelly basically said the same thing. I don't get to do what I do best and what I love most. So I walked away. It wasn't because UCLA was in the stinker. He actually had UCLA in a good spot and was just like, I can't do it like this anymore. Now I think you're starting to see this is just the beginning, Jimmy, of sort of athletic programs are starting to, and universities are starting to understand that the head coaching position is a different job now than it was even five years ago. Let's just use that as a marker. It's very different than it was 5 years ago. And it's going to be different 5 years from now, a little bit more. We're in a big change right now. And I just think this is the first step. Like the money and the fact that the position has changed so much, it's a difficult time to be a head coach in college football because it's changed that much. And what is in place is not necessarily across the board. This is generalizing. It's not built for this per se.
Andy, I'm going to take a little different angle on it than you. For a decade, we had the four-team playoff. And those four slots, essentially three out of the four were always locked up. Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, right? And it was only the elite of the elite who would be in the playoffs. Now with the 12-team playoffs, it's not just that you have 12 teams making it. You have another 12, 15 schools that think they should be in the playoffs. So previously, you go 10-2, 9-3, you don't make the playoffs. Well, you know what? It's so difficult to get there. I think administrations were a lot more forgiving. Now, if you're an LSU, a Penn State, a Florida, these are schools that think it's their God-given right to be in a 12-team playoff.
Correct.
So if you're not, where a year ago or a couple years ago, the difference between 9-3 and 10-2, well, no one really cared because you were outside the playoffs either way. Now, right. Now that's the difference between making the playoffs or not. So I think athletic directors, administrations, they feel like, hey, our school should be in the playoffs, and the scapegoat is the coach.
Coach, yeah, no, so, you're right.
So you have to deal with that now. And what's interesting with this cycle, Andy, is all these schools I'm naming, are there enough of coaches around to fill all these positions? Obviously, there are. There has to be.
There is.
They have to come from somewhere. But everybody is talking about getting that home run hire. Are there going to be enough home run hires to go around?
There are not enough home run hires to go around. There aren't enough home run hires, period, because we're both talking about transition and change. LSU, Penn State, Florida, right? They feel it's their God-given right to be in the playoffs, right? Or, you know, they're blue bloods, to a degree. They've got pedigree. They should be playoff teams. You know, NIL, the transfer portal, a more level playing field, the coaches having less power, the players having a more balance of power now in terms of how this looks. Look, call it what the transfer portal, and we talked in great vain. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen, but we talked a lot about changing the landscape and leveling the playing field. Guess what we're getting in year two of the playoffs? We saw a little bit of it last year. Now you're seeing a more level playing field. And it's going to be, for lack of a better term, like the NFL is season to season. Remember, you could build a team. I'm not sure you build a team for a 2 or 3 year run. I think you got to be so transactional now that you have to rebuild pretty much every year in some way, shape, or form. And I think nobody's proving that better than Penn State. Like, the Ohio State model from last year, does it work? It worked for Ohio State. Did it work for Penn State? Because let's be honest, Penn State followed the Ohio State model, right? And it's not a was not a bad model to follow. Does it work? Apparently not. So you got one example of it working, one not. Is that a sustainable model? You're going to need more data. So there's a million ways to skin this cat, Jimmy. And I don't know that there's any one way. Like, it was so comfortable when, like you said, three teams, you knew who they were going to be. It was from a pool of 5 or 6 teams, right, that you were going to get that three. Every second or third year, maybe you had an outlier, right, who kind of stuck their nose in the 14 playoff, and that was about it. There was some safety and comfort and a lot of what you know, and you could be sure of this and convicted of that. And if you were chasing to get there, you knew what you needed to do to get there. None of that is – all of that's gone, Jimmy. The stability that you knew is now different, and that stability as you knew it is gone.
And you also had – you talked about it, the you're not building for 3 or 4 years. You're building for the current year. Kurt Cignetti at Indiana – built that team in a year. And
for a year.
Yes. And now he's doing it again. Okay. He Correct. Built a team 1 year at a time twice. And now he spoiled it for everybody else. Now a new coach comes into a blue blood. I don't want to hear it's going to be 2-3 years to get where we want to be. Kurt Cignetti did it in 1 year at Indiana. Why can't we do that? So, Andy, earlier you talked about there's multiple ways to rebuild. I think, though, there's a one common thread, though, through all of this. One common thread. And guess what? I'm going to tell you what that common thread is right after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. You know what, Andy, and you're familiar with them, GoPSURV. They're a longtime sponsor of the Keystone Sports Network, and for 15 years they provided RV tailgating in Happy Valley. They're rebranding. They're now going to be Blue White RV. You got the same group there that fans have come to know, but with more lodging and tailgating options than ever. As always, all you got to do is show up, let the experienced staff there provide everything needed for a relaxed, hassle-free, RV tailgating experience, including tailgating, games, fire pits, food, and a pavilion showing all college football games all weekend. They also provide transportation, a shuttle back and forth to the game, so you don't have to bother with parking at the stadium. They even have assistance in obtaining game tickets. And I'll tell you what, this is the perfect way to spend your tailgating weekend. You just drive there with their car, the RV sitting there ready and waiting for you. We were GoPSURV. Now we are Blue White RV. Want more info? You want to stay there for the weekend in one of the upcoming home games? Just call 800-519-8467. All right, Andy. We were talking about it's a new world now. It's become more transactional in college football. Just like Kurt Cignetti, you could build a team in 1 year, but we're having more parity. And you mentioned how, you know, Penn State was following the Ohio State model. I mentioned that I think there's a common thread when you see the teams that are succeeding and the teams that are failing. And here's that common thread. Look at those teams like Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech, Indiana. These teams are being very, very successful. What do they have in common, Andy? They hit on the quarterback. Okay. Is Vanderbilt doing what they're doing without their quarterback?
No, I mean, you got to, if you're going to go transfer portal hunting, I mean, you can't hit on the quarterback.
You better
only.
Hit.
You gotta have a little undercarriage.
You have
to hit on the quarterback if it's identified as your need. You gotta hit it a home run.
And you know, so you look at those teams, Indiana, Kurt Cignetti hit twice at quarterback on the transfer portal.
That's not an accident.
By the way. Some of the teams who aren't doing as well as expected, like Penn State, is their quarterback having a – he's now injured, but was that quarterback having a good season, Andy?
He was not. No.
And I think that's the difference on that team. If you look at the teams that are succeeding, you got to hit on the quarterback. You said, you know, it's not dumb luck. You don't just stumble on them. Kurt Cignetti may know what he's doing when he's going out and grabbing a quarterback, but it's not an exact science. You want to make sure you hit on the quarterback. But let's
that
get a little
change, kind of. You always kind of needed to hit on a quarterback.
You always did, but I think it's even more so with the parity, Andy. The
correct.
Difference. It's a huger difference. Huger difference? A huge difference.
No, bad. It is a game-changing difference maker now. If you've got everything below it kind of built to a decent level, if you hit on a quarterback, whether, you know, more in the transfer portal, because that they got a little salt and pepper on them, if you can hit that as a home run, you're going to win more games than you think.
Yes. Now, Let's get a little closer to home in this whole coaching conversation. Pat Kraft, Andy, I don't think I'm overstating it when I say this is his career making or breaking decision, is it not?
It will be, yeah. I wonder what the window of opportunity will be for this individual that Pat lands on, but they're going to be tied at the hip. For better, for worse, for greater, you know, the greater good or not, it doesn't matter. In terms of Penn State football fans and the program, Pat Kraft and his head football coach for the 2026 season are starting a journey together. You won't be able to talk about success or failure in the next head coach of Penn State without mentioning Pat Kraft, right?
Yes. And Pat Kraft's career is going to be based on this. You know, like the Indiana athletic director, whoever he is, he's basking in the glory of Kurt Cignetti right now.
Correct. That's who he tied himself to. Who do you hitch your cart to?
That's it. So I guess that's kind of my question, Andy, for you is not, I don't need a name, but the process for Pat Kraft in deciding who this guy is, who's going to make or break his career. Where does he go? How does this process work? Do you think he had an idea before he let James Franklin go? Did he have an idea of who he wanted as his coach?
I'm sure he had a wish list. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he had like probably five guys. Just to say, for example, these are my five guys on my wish list. If you said, in a perfect world, who are the five guys you would hire to coach at Penn State? He for sure 100% because he's good at his job. He had that list. He had it. So who is that on his list? He knew who he wanted. Now, can he acquire them? That's a different question. It's not the same answer. But yes, he knew who he wanted to consider at a very high level before he hired James Franklin. He knew that before the season. He knew that in the offseason when he probably built it. So he knew who he wanted to consider and look at from a deeper next level angle if Penn State's football head coach job became open, and it's open.
We know that these communications don't go directly to a coach. You go through an agent. So the coaches could have plausible deniability. Hey, I never talked to anybody at Penn State. Well, of course you didn't. Your agent did. Okay. That's how it works. Did Pat Kraft put out feelers before he let go of James Franklin?
No. No. That was too big of a decision. You have to fix the problem in front of you before you can move on and find a solution, right? You might have a plan for a solution, but he needed to finish and do James Franklin for it. They're not cause and effect. You just have to go cause. The effect is now I need a football coach. Okay, now I know what I want to go get. But you're not calling and say, hey, if I fire James, would your guy be interested in my job? I don't think he's making that call to an agent.
Well, you could do it and be a little more subtle. But here's the thing now, Andy, with the LSU and Florida jobs open, and we might see other schools like Florida State, Auburn, Wisconsin, you know, things like that. What everybody would call home run hires, there's not enough of those guys to go around. My question is, does Pat Kraft need one of those home run hires? And I say that in the context of we keep bringing up Kurt Cignetti. Nobody knew who Kurt Cignetti was till he got the Indiana job. And once he did, nobody cared until he started winning. Right. So
till he got in the way.
Yes. Right. So, you know, it's like now I'll borrow some of your terminology. Get the right coach, not the coach with the biggest resume, right?
I really still honestly believe that. I'm not looking for the best one or what someone be considered the best one. I'm looking for the right one. I feel now with LSU being in the pool, it changes a little bit more. It makes the right one a little bit more, just a little bit more important in terms of it's just different. And there might be, there's going to be even more. And I also think the right one is, or a home run coach or go after the big fish or whatever you want to call it. That's very subjective. Every fan has an opinion on that. You've mentioned that, you know, some of your friends have said, you know, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer. And that just makes me want to run for a, you know, airline bag that's in front of you that you throw up in. But that's subjective, right? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, don't do that. So it will be subjective. That even to me furthers my point of you're looking for the right one, not the best one, because the best one is subjective. And, you know, Pat's got to go about this process quickly. And it is a very waves of change year on the coaching front in college football at the highest levels. And Penn State's part of that change now. And Pat Kraft and his quest for it is part of it, because this is a big change year on the coaching front with all of these job availables, and Penn State's right in the middle of it.
They are. And, you know, I'm wondering a little bit if, you know, the Florida and LSU, they're looking at a different coaching culture.
They are. 100%
agree. Lane Kiffin is this Southeast Conference coach. He's shown he could do that at Ole Miss. Yep. That's probably, you know, the apple of the eye at both LSU and Florida. One other thing I want to make note of, Andy, is we talk about this being transactional. How long does it take to build? Have you seen Penn State's 2026 schedule?
I have not looked at it. Honestly, sir, good question. No.
I have.
Okay.
Do you think they play Oregon? No.
2 years in a row, no.
Do they play Ohio State? No.
No, they're out next year.
Do they play Indiana? No. No Indiana.
They play Michigan.
No Oregon. They play Michigan. But other than that, you know, there's game USC at Washington, I think, could be a test. But
100%.
My point being, Andy, you, without doing anything spectacular, you could win 10 games at this place next year.
Your schedule will help you have success. 10 games, Jimmy? Come on.
Hey, you know, other than Michigan, like I said, the next two biggest games are, I believe it's USC at home and then at Washington. Those are your two toughest games after Michigan. That's appealing, Andy. That's appealing. All right. That is it for quarter number two. When we come back, your questions, and we ask Andy.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number three. It's time to ask Andy. That means we're going to take your questions. All right, Andy, you ready to roll?
I am. Let's do it.
All right. I think we're going to start with the most important question here first, and this is Matt from Massachusetts. Jim and Andy, as Penn State sets off on making the important decision to find the next head coach, another important, if not more important, decision is upon you. What is the one item on the menu you order when visiting a new restaurant for the first time that will convince you if it's good or not?
Wow. What a great question. I'm thinking, like, I'd say that in, like, hold on, I don't really know if I have an answer to that, but in saying that to myself, I do. Are you ready?
Okay. I'm ready. Go for it.
Well, there's one, and then I'll have a subtle second. One is across the board, any genre of food kind of, you know, what's their quote-unquote soup? Not just diner food. What's your – almost 80% of the restaurants you go to will have a soup of the day or soup, right? Like, what's your soup? What is it any good? Do you make it? And what your sort of it's in two phases. What your soup of the day says what season is, what your feature soup or your best, you know, like, oh, well, we have a soup of the day, but we also always have chicken noodle or whatever. But we always have this soup. The waitress will say, this is our soup of the day. We always have chicken noodle, and this is our other soup, your soup. And the second one, very, very far different in a different way, is what's your house dressing and what's that? So what's your house dressing first, Ella? But at the top of my list is what is your soup and what does that look like and what is it comprised of?
Interesting answer, Andy. You got their soup and their salad dressing. I'll tell you what. Here was my first instinct, and this probably tells you more about me than it does the restaurant. I go with what I know. Let me taste your meatball, okay?
There you go.
But I talked to somebody last night about this very question. How about this? How about their hamburger?
So their burger.
Yes.
A lot of places have a burger. That's a good one. That's a really, really good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Isn't that a good way to judge the place?
Yeah, no, burger is a great one. Burger is a great way to judge a place.
All right, let's move on. We'll settle on burger then. Let's go to John in Kingston. He says, there's one name that never gets mentioned as a possibility for the head coaching job. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is the guy. I am saying his name makes as much sense as some of the other names mentioned. That would be Al Golden. Any thoughts?
Yeah. So Al's done a lot of moving around recently. Al's got a lot of experience, both collegiately as coordinator, head coach. He's got NFL experience, NFL coordinator experience. He's a very experienced coach. He's good. He's a very good coordinator. Is he built for this now? Is he got that sort of, I have a little bit something different or something in the tank that not many others have? Do I have something to offer that is at a next level difference? I think, John, that's a good name to bring up because obviously it has Penn State ties. And I think it kind of feels like at times that might be where the right guy, if he has those, would be something that would be appealing for Penn State. It's a good name to bring up. And I wonder why it's not as often. You know what? Here's the thing. Al doesn't have bling. Al's not a bling guy, right? Like, I swear, I think he still wears shirt and tie when he coaches, maybe. And I kind of like that. But he doesn't have a lot of, like, spit and polish on him. Do you need all that spit and polish? That's probably why he's not mentioned as much. He is not a sort of, like, shiny new toy guy. But he's got a lot of meat on the bone, and do you need that meat on the bone? There we go back to it. Pat, the ball's in your court.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at Al Golden, and I think the only reason why his name gets mentioned is because of the Penn State connection.
Probably.
And that's not how the decision should be made. Now, is it a plus in your column? Conceivably, yes. Because you understand the culture and the area.
Correct.
But that shouldn't be the lead factor. And that's why
I agree.
It's always interesting. The lead candidate has been Matt Rhule from early on because of the Penn State connection, coming from State College, also his connection to Pat Kraft. But now, you know, I just saw talk that he's in talks on an extension with Nebraska. So who knows? Andy, we're going to hear so many of these rumors, already have and will continue to. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Jimmy in Forest City. Jimmy says, Andy and Jim, I've been watching Missouri football games because the product's better than Penn State games and to watch Bo Pribula. Last week against Vanderbilt, Bo was injured, and Matt Zollers took his place, another PA quarterback. He looked good against a top 10 team on the road as a true freshman. I don't see our backup quarterbacks looking that good. How can Franklin let top PA quarterbacks leave the state? I thought we were supposed to dominate the state.
Well, he didn't let Bo leave. Bo had to leave because of the portal situation. He wanted what every kid wants, which was an opportunity to play. So putting that in there, James Franklin, and at that time was a Penn State head coach. And I don't think any, I'm sure he liked the quarterback's coach. I know he liked the quarterback's coach. I know he liked Danny. Bo was happy there. Bo was not unhappy at Penn State. But in order to have an opportunity to play at that point in his career, he had to go. It was a gut-wrenching decision for him to make.
But Andy, I think the bigger question is like a recruit, Matt Zollers. Yeah. I think we know about Bo making the decision he did.
I think if you're a quarterback in PA last year and you look at it and you're like, is that position being developed at another level? No, maybe you're not seeing it. You look elsewhere. There's a 412 decisions to go into it. You don't need everyone. You just need to land. Again, I go back to it. You need to find the right one. And I still don't think James, he found, I think his first one was the best one. And that was the right one. And that was Trace.
Do you know what, Andy? I think there's something, like we talk about the coaches being a proper fit. You want the quarterback also who's the right fit. In that context, you could bring up Bo versus Drew Aller, and I understand the argument that Bo was probably a better fit for what James had wanted to do, what Andy Kotelnicki wanted to do. But you couldn't deny Drew Aller's talent. Now, with Matt Zollers, and it's unfair of me to make the assumption, but I'm going to do it anyway because that's what we do. There's been so little connection between Missouri football and PA high school recruits, okay? So that when it does happen, I think Eli Drinkwitz, good coach. I think his offense and what he does offensively was probably attractive to Matt Zollers. But whenever you see that kind of new or unusual matchup, again, it's a new world. And as you always point out, the answer is usually money.
Yeah, I mean, Will Howard went to Kansas State to start before he transferred to Ohio State and won a national championship. It's from Downingtown. Never. Penn State was never part of his equation.
And you know what? And you mentioned like Trace McSorley's name. This is a guy that nobody wanted as the quarterback. It's an inexact science, Andy. And
100%.
A couple years ago, I did a little history check on five-star quarterbacks, which are fairly rare. And most of them, more often than not, they were a bust in college, okay? It's just the hit rate on quarterbacks. That's just the way it is. All right, Andy, let's go to Jack in Monroeville, who says, with the loss of recruits and sure to be a bunch of transfers, how long till this team is competitive again?
Ooh, yeah, $64,000 question there, Jack in Monroeville. I think you brought it up in the last quarter. There is an opportunity in 2026. It isn't a stacked deck, so the schedule's going to help in 26 for whoever the new coach is right out of the gate, whatever roster he has left to put together and cobble together and build and can hold on to and restock. However that looks, whatever that looks like, it's not going to be a stacked deck against him. There is opportunity. So, you said that the team could win. There's a chance they could win 10 games. Maybe, but it won't be as difficult as it could be. So you're going to get a more level bite of the first bite of the apple than you could have. So they have one thing. They have a rainbow at the end of the dark tunnel. What does it look like to get there? I don't know. It could be next year because the schedule is favorable and that matters.
It is, Andy. And right now we're going through the darkest point where every news item you see is this recruit has decommitted, that recruit has decommitted. And trust me, when the season ends, you're going to start seeing this player on the roster has entered the portal. Okay.
Right.
That's going to happen. You're going to have James taking another job. Now, we're hearing a lot about Virginia Tech right now. But wherever James goes, don't you think he's going to take a few of these guys with him? That's going to happen. So
some of them will go.
But after that bad news, what we're going to start hearing is the new coach, if
Pat Kraft gets
the right guy, he's going to bring in talent with them. They're going to hit the portal aggressively, combine that with the schedule next year. But as I mentioned earlier, Andy,
quarterback,
you better get the quarterback right. Get that one right, Andy, and you're in much better shape. All right, that's it for quarter number three. Stick around. One more quarter to go.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Andy. I'm Jim. Andy, could you believe it's Ohio State week?
Yeah. Are we going to talk about football, Jimmy? We haven't talked about football in so long.
I know, Andy, it's a crazy, crazy idea, but let's give it a shot. How about we talk some football? What do you think?
All right, fire away. Let's talk a little bit of football.
All right.
This isn't a really level playing field that we're walking into right now, so keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. This is not appealing if you're a Penn State fan.
It is scary going this into matchup. It, but here's the thing though, Andy. Let me give you a little bit of a positive spin, if I could. James was fired after Northwestern game. Terry Smith named interim coach. That week, a whirlwind. I mean, Terry Smith must have been spinning that week, trying to get his footing. And before he knew it, he was at Kinnick Stadium playing against Iowa.
Yeah. Now, and he warned you about what was going to happen. He all week, if you listen to him closely, he was like, we're getting there, but we're not anywhere near where we need to be. We're not in a good spot. There's a lot left to figure out. And there were warning signs that game was on shaky ground.
But now he and his coordinators, they had the benefit of a bye week, Andy.
Yeah.
So they got settled, the dust settled. They now had 2 weeks to get ready for Ohio State, and forgetting Ohio State for a minute, forgetting who that opponent is, just talking about this team itself, what does that extra bye week do for them?
Well, so in my opinion, I mean, it's like, what's it been and what can they impact and what can he do? To me, it means All right, your game plan can't look like it did against Iowa. You're not going to rotate the quarterbacks a little bit and run Catron Allen exactly, who was a beast, by the way, against Iowa. He was an absolute football beast. Just he's become the feature back, and he was that good. But you can't run him exactly where you expect him to run him. In other words, against Iowa, it was very easy for Iowa, even though I think there were elements of Penn State that impressed me against Iowa offensively. It was easy to defend them. It was very easy to defend them. And they helped a little bit by doing the quarterback rotation, which made no sense. And yet at the same time for Iowa, it made perfect sense because it was very easy for him to defend. I think you can lean a little bit on effort and the care meter. I thought they existed. I don't know for how long that hangs around, but it was there against Iowa. I also think you don't have all of the 1-10 big game James talk around Penn State this week. That is gone. So James's record against Ohio State and what the team and the program still own that, but it was always centered around him. It has been refreshing not to have that this week. So, you know, while I have, and I think we will talk about, I have inherent structural, you know, frustration / concerns about defensively, I think if Penn State is going to be competitive in this football game, it will come down. I don't say the responsibility lies with the Penn State offense. It will land at the feet of Penn State's offense to do something different at the next level and be somehow better to compete, Jimmy. And that's a big ask.
Do you know what, Andy? I just thought of this as you were talking about, you know, James Franklin's record against top 10 teams and all. If I were a headline writer and Penn State loses this weekend, I think my headline would be Terry Smith 0-1 against top 10 teams.
Yeah. That would be tongue in cheek, as they call it.
Here we go again. 0-1 against top 10 teams. It is. Now, it's an interesting position that Terry Smith is put in. And my question is, Andy, what's his message like to the team during this bye week? What's he telling them, both as far as, you know, X's and O's, and probably even more importantly, their mindset?
Yeah, effort and care. They matter more than X's and O's. That has to be the mindset. You have to – they still have, you know, some talented football players. And this is a reflection – everyone will be like, well, this will be, you know, a reflection of what Terry can do. Actually, he's not in control of those. He can only impact them by making them a priority and preaching them. And I know how he goes about his business, and he's a very good man at delivering that message. But this falls at the players' feet. Effort and care meter. You know, is there potential for him to get blown out? Yeah, a wee bit. You think? Yes, that does exist. Effort and care meter. Can they be competitive? And the only way they're going to be competitive when you're in the darkest of the dark, you just mentioned it a little bit ago, they're in that dark tunnel. They're in one of those Pennsylvania Turnpike tunnels we all know and love. Just so it doesn't look like that, I think that's a success for Terry. That has to be what he's been looking at. If it's a competitive game, late third, early fourth quarter, and you're a Penn State fan, are you happy if it's a – you want them to beat Ohio State because it's Ohio State and you hate them. I get that. But if where they're at right now, if this game is competitive going in the fourth quarter and you're on the edge of your chair and you're having, you know, visions of sugar plums dancing in your head of this massive upset, is just even remotely possible, is that good enough for you?
Oh, yeah, that's a win, Andy. It's a situation where reminds me a little. We had a question in our Ask Andy segment a few weeks ago where I think someone grasping for that silver lining was, you know what? When you just drop the expectations, it makes the games more enjoyable because any win, it feels like a big win. And it feels like those, you know, dark days, the sanctioned days where you went to a game, every game you could conceivably lose, conceivably win. So that's the feeling. Now, I'm not sure they could win this weekend, but keep me interested to the fourth quarter, yes. Now, Andy, I've been talking during this show and for weeks about, you know, the importance of the quarterback position and succeeding there. Penn State has the young guy, Ethan Grunkmeyer, out there. He looked like it was his first start when he was against Iowa. Couple weeks now of practice under the belt as the number one guy. What could the coaches do? What could Terry Smith do? What can Andy Kotelnicki do to make life easier for Ethan Grunkmeyer?
Yeah, his name is Luke Reynolds. He has 3 catches for 16 yards the last 2 games. Come on. He can help this guy underneath. Make the easy throws look easy. Make him don't make him go second, third, scramble, tier read. Help him. And a guy like Luke Reynolds is a type of player, and he's good enough simply to just go run your simple route, make yourself available underneath, turn around, be the big target, and make those throws. Target him to help out your greenhorn quarterback. That's my answer, is what I think is an outside the box a little bit. Come on, 3 catches, 16 yards. You got to do better than that, Andy Kotelnicki. Use what you have at your disposal. Don't make your quarterback do more than – don't ask him to do more than he's capable of. They didn't ask him to do more. They kind of muddied the water with the 2 quarterback thing. Make that his rock. Give him a rock. Do this, and you can be successful. Do this, and this only. One thing. And it's not hand the ball to 13. That's not what I'm talking about. And I think Luke Reynolds is that guy. Underneath.
You know what? I like that, Andy, using the tight ends, which is not something that they've been doing a lot of this year, and they traditionally do. The other thing to me is you mentioned it with in the Iowa game, how predictable they were.
Easy to defend. Yep.
Yeah. How about breaking that up a bit? How about doing something different? How about throwing the ball on what can be considered a running down? And I always say this.
Oh, here we go. First down. We got it.
Yes. Because they don't do it, Andy. They don't do it. And when they go to throw the ball, you know, they run these pass. They're just an extension of the running game.
And those I know wide receiver screen things.
Right. How they about and when they said the take the top off, you know, they threw the ball, just chucked it downfield. I'm sorry, that's not
chucking. Yeah.
Yes. How about 10 to 15 yards? How about that intermediate pass? Now, I know there's fear. Young quarterback. Good defense secondary. Can fool you. You know, yeah, I get that. But at least present the threat that you might do that. And, Andy, don't do that on 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9 when it's predictable that, okay, they may be passing this down. That's why I keep saying do it on 1st down. When a play action pass could actually fool the defense.
Right. Right. I agree. I don't disagree. You're 100%. That's why I keep saying they're easy to defend. They're very, very, very easy to defend.
Right. Stop making them so easy to defend. All right, Andy, correct. A minute left. Bold prediction and prediction.
Yeah. It's Ohio State. They're you can't stink against a running game like you have during this win. The defense has to – you have to cover up the linebackers because Ohio State's going to target them. Their receivers are good. Their corners are good. They're just better. Ohio State's going to win this game. It's 38-7. I think Ohio State – my bold prediction is Ohio State rolls up more than 400 yards of offense, and they lead by 4 scores at halftime.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You're not painting –
tells me different.
You're right, Andy. I'm going to look at this as – you know what? Their last game against Iowa, they covered the spread, Andy. That's the moral victory.
Yes!
Moral victory. The spread is 20.5 points. This is my prediction and also my bold prediction. they cover the spread, and they, how about 34-20? Ohio State wins it comfortably by two touchdowns, but that's enough for this team to cover. All right, Andy, that's the final comment. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.